we just heard our first message of the evening right there. That was amazing. I thank you so much, Brother Everson, for that. That was fantastic. 51 years ago, the Mount of Byron Baptist Mission began in Monterrey, Mexico during a meeting where pastors had come down from America. As I understand it, I believe there's two people here tonight that were present on that first occasion. My mom, who is with us tonight. Mom, would you please stand? Let's give her a big hand, wouldn't you? And I also believe that Reverend Donald King was there during that meeting. Brother King, is that correct? Would you please stand, Brother King? He was our office manager for so many years, I've even forgotten. But it's so good to have you here, Brother King. Now, I must confess to you, I wasn't present there that night. But I am so glad to be here this evening. I bring you greetings from my father, Dr. Mike Patterson, who would so wish to be here. As a matter of fact, in all of the years that I've been in these conferences, I don't remember a time when he hasn't made it to the meeting. But this morning, he had a nuclear CAT scan done and is still going through some of those tests. And he's got more tests tomorrow morning. It was just humanly impossible for him to be here. Please pray for him. We know that he has cancer. What we're praying is that the cancer has not metastasized and hasn't spread, in which case it may be a simple situation, but otherwise we're looking at a very difficult time of recuperation for my dad. And I just ask your prayers, God's will be done, that we'll get a good report, and that my dad can go forward in what the Lord has called him to do. I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles tonight to the book of Romans, chapter 13. Romans 13, verses 11 and 12. Are the theme verses of our conference this year. The theme, as you have seen many places already around, you saw it on the placemats over while we were having dinner. By the way, I hope you enjoyed that dinner as much as I did. Mrs. Danita Carr, I don't see her here in the room tonight, but she did a fantastic job. If you get around, please let her know how much you appreciated that. These verses, Romans 13, verses 11 and 12, the theme verses for this meeting. We're going to read verses 11 through 14. I'd like to ask you if you would, if you'd please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. The Bible says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, we need your help. We ask that you would come and visit us in a special way and that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I know that the message you've put on my heart, it is impossible that I can communicate this except you help me. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that your Holy Spirit would give me the words to say. Lord, that you would remove from my mind any thought that would go contrary to that which you want us to hear. And Lord, I pray that you would do a great work in my heart and in the work and the hearts of those that listen. And Lord, I pray that you would be honored and glorified. We thank you, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. We thank you, Lord God, for the privilege of coming into your presence. We ask now, Lord, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart would be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's in your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Tonight I'd like to speak on the subject of divine appointments. Maybe there's a time in your life where that you can somewhat identify with some experiences that I have faced, in that after I have gone through a particular situation, and as I've looked back over all of the chain of events that happened, I have to say that was a divine appointment. There is no way that any man could have orchestrated that particular set of events. I know that God set that up in a certain way because he had a divine appointment set up for me and others. I'll never forget getting on a plane in Bogota, Colombia. was a small plane. It was one of those that has two seats on one side and three seats on the other, and the plane filled up quite quickly, and I was on early on, and there was a seat between myself and another passenger, and it was empty. And as the plane began to fill up, this lady came on. She was very well dressed, and she indicated to me that that seat that was empty was her seat. So I stood up and I allowed her to pass, and it was obvious by the way she was dressed. She was a business lady, a very successful business lady. Just the way she acted and the way that she spoke to me, I could tell, a very educated person. She sat down next to me, and shortly after she sat down, the Lord impressed upon me to take my Bible out and begin to read it. Now, I'd already had my devotions that morning. And quite often, to be honest with you, I have my devotions on my iPad. I make notes on my iPad, and I'm able to read, and I have some things that I can get access to. And so I quite often will have my devotions on my iPad. But that particular day, I really felt like God wanted me to get my Bible out. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but I have this conversation with God saying, well, Lord, couldn't I just do it on the iPad? And it was like God said, no, get out your Bible. And so I did. The moment I opened up my Bible, I didn't even get to start reading. This lady seated next to me looks over and she says, oh my goodness, you're a pastor. Kind of like that. I didn't know if I was supposed to apologize. And I said, well, yes, ma'am, I am. She suddenly got huge tears in her eyes and she said, oh, wow, oh my. And I said, well, ma'am, can I help you? She said, yes, sir, you can. And I don't even know where to ask you to start. I said, well, let's start with this. And I showed her the gospel. She listened to every word I said. She read the verses with me. While we were still flying through the air, she bowed her head and asked Jesus Christ to become her Savior. After we had finished, she said, I need to tell you a story. I said, well, what's that? She said, I'm a pastor too. I said, oh. She said, well, I used to be a pastor. I said, okay. She said, I was a pastor for 15 years. I said, wow. She told me the name of the particular church that she had been a pastor of. She said, and then I had a problem. And I decided that everything I had ever heard was false. She said, I left the church. I stopped reading the Bible. I didn't do anything for God anymore. She said, but recently my daughter started going to a Baptist church. And my daughter got saved. And she came to the airport. She brought me to the airport today. And on the way to the airport, she told me, Mom, you were a Christian, but you were never saved. You were a pastor, but you never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. She said, you knew the right words, but you didn't have the right relationship with God. That's what's missing in your life. And her mom said, that's stupid. She said, if God really wanted to get my attention, what he'd do is, when I get on that plane, he'd put a pastor right next to me. And her daughter said, I'm going to pray there's a pastor seated next to you. She said, go ahead and pray, it'll never happen. She sat down, I opened that Bible. God had already done everything. All I had to do was, I mean, that was the simplest explanation of the gospel I've ever given. She was absolutely ready. When we got off the plane in Bucaramanga, I went to go get my luggage and she went over and did not even look for her suitcase. She went over and sat down on the step. I heard her on her cell phone. Through her tears and her sobs, she said to her daughter, God is real. He sent a pastor who I was seated next to on the plane. I just got saved. And guess what? He's a Baptist too. Divine appointments. This phrase that we just read in Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11, when it says, and that knowing the time. The word time there in Greek is the word kairos, and literally translated, it could be translated as an appointed time, or you could say an appointment. And I ask you tonight, what's your divine appointment? What has God set up that you are the only one that He is going to use for that time and that place to reach a particular person with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 18 says, and they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Did you hear that? The Lord God hath met with us. Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 17 says, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp, listen to this, to meet with God. Exodus 19, 17. Pastor Vellante showed us a picture a few moments ago of the First Lady of Ghana. Brother Steve, I'm impressed. I flew this last September to New York City, along with a group of 21 pastors and missionaries, to meet the president of Mongolia. Mr. Sakhyakin Elbegdorj was going to be there at the United Nations. Every September they have a meeting of all of the presidents, over 180 of the presidents of the nations around the world gathered there at the United Nations building, and it was this huge thing. And I saw the president of several countries and got to speak to one of them, and we were going to meet with the president of Mongolia. I mean, this was exciting. We'd paid for plane tickets. We were staying in a hotel there close to the convention center. We all got there on the day we were supposed to have the meeting. We went into this expensive steakhouse. We're there, and the president was going to meet with us. And his chief of staff called and said, hey, there's been a change of plans. You guys sit tight there at the restaurant. We're trying to work it out. If he can come by, he'll come by. But he may not be able to. We sat there at our table. We ordered the food. The president arrived, and instead of coming to stay with us, he went into a back room. I got to see him. I was about as close to him as I am to Brother Steve Vellante, but he just walked right on past me. You know, he didn't stop to shake my hand. He didn't ask if he could have a selfie with me. He just went right on by with his bodyguards. I mean, we looked at him, and they were like, oh, don't even look at this guy. And he just kept on going. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as I was seated there at that table, kind of upset because the president didn't want to meet with us, reminded me that I'm his adopted son, and I can come into his presence anytime I want to. And do you know he has divine appointments set up for us that we need to make sure we're ready for? You and I will be at our divine appointments if we make the following three decisions. Now listen fast. We're going to make our divine appointments. We need to make these three decisions. Could you say this with me? I will be at my divine appointments if I make the following three decisions. Number one, I've got to decide to get up. Notice what it says here in our text. It says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. God says to us, it's time to get up. There are probably people in this room tonight that spiritually, you're asleep. You're not awake. You need to get up. You need to wake up. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 14 says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The Bible tells us that there's a time in our life where we have to wake up. We've got to get up. We can't continue to stay asleep. I can tell you that there are nations all over the world where that they are begging, they are waiting for missionaries to come and to preach the gospel. They desire to have someone who will preach to them. I've been in places where that they say, hey, listen, if you'll come, we'll have you preach. I think, okay. I remember a few years ago I went to India. Pastor Ken Fielder's been over there. I was there for 15 days. They preached me to death. I preached 47 times in 15 days. And they didn't get tired of me. I don't know that my wife could have handled that. But to have such a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God. You see, we need to arise. We need to get up. If we're going to make that divine appointment, we've got to get up. Notice what it says in verse number 11. It says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep." Now the word high time here is another Greek word. It's not the word kairos, which means appointed time. The word ora means hour. If you speak Spanish, when I said ora in Greek, you probably said, oh, he's speaking Spanish. It's the same word. Ora, hour. It's the exact same word. Greek and Spanish pronounced the same way. Now, here we see, knowing the time, the appointed time, the appointment, that now it is high time, it is the hour to awake out of sleep. Maybe you had an appointment at some point, and you're going to go meet with someone. You know the time that you're supposed to be there, and you set an alarm. And you're getting ready to go to that appointment. And you say, okay, by a certain time, I need to get up. I'm going to have a shower. I'm going to get dressed. I'm going to get everything ready. And I'm going to go to that appointment. But have you ever in your life slept through that alarm clock? Has anybody ever had that terrible experience like I have? And you wake up late, and you're running late, and you're going, no, I can't miss this. Oh, no. This last Monday, we had an appointed time. And it was my fault. My daughter Heather was going in to get something done at the Department of Motor Vehicles. We had an appointment to be there, and I thought, man, you know, it's just down the road here. Except it wasn't just down the road. The appointment was not in Arlington, it was in South Dallas. And my GPS would not take me to that place. That was on the access road of I-20. It was taking me to somewhere off of Highway 67. And every time I'd put it in, it would send me to the wrong place. I was so frustrated. We got there half an hour late. And I told Heather, I said, Heather, I want you to go up there. Wonderful lady sitting there. I said, Heather, turn on the charm. I said, you do not want me up there with you. You tell her your daddy got lost, his GPS didn't work. I said, you tell her anything you want to, blame it on me, but turn on the charm. And you know what? She got it. I mean, she did it. She knew what she was doing. She learned how at Pensacola Christian College. I think they have a charm class over there. I want to ask you this question. Maybe you're here tonight and you hear this ringing and it's your spiritual alarm clock going off saying it's time to wake up. There's something God's got in store for you. You say, oh, Brother Bill, I'm a pastor. I have a ministry. I already know what I'm doing. Have you ever thought that maybe God has something else besides what you thought was the rest of your ministry? Have you ever considered that maybe God has one more thing in store for you that you could have never imagined? It's time to wake up. Secondly, not only get up, you need to get dressed. Say, Brother Bill, where did you find that? Well, let's look at it in verse number 12. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. All right, so now the night's over, the day's coming up, listen to the next one. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Now the word cast off used here, literally translated means to take off clothes because you're going to put on something else. Now, as I was preparing for this message tonight, I want to tell you that I thought about bringing my pajamas with me to show you as an illustration. But I didn't want you to have a nightmare after you go back to your home tonight thinking about those pajamas and just saying, I can't believe he brought his pajamas up to the church. But when you take off your pajamas, it's because you're going to get dressed. You're going to put something on. You're not going to go out with your pajamas. I know. God bless you. Thank you so much. No one came here with pajamas on tonight. We went to Walmart a couple of days ago, my son and I. We had to go buy something. I don't generally go to Walmart. I let my wife go there. And we walked in, and this guy had on his pajamas. And my son says to me, "Dad, I wish I could wear those to Walmart. You won't let me." I said, "You're right, I won't let you wear pajamas to Walmart. Day that comes, we're going to have a serious situation on our hands." No way, I don't want him wearing pajamas to Walmart. What about that best pair of comfortable blue jeans? Oh, I've got some. They're ragged on the bottom. They're hardly blue at all. They're mostly white. But brother, they are comfortable. Now, if I've got some hard work to do and I've got to clean up some stuff, I'll put those jeans on. And man, I love wearing those blue jeans. But I've also got in my closet a pair of tuxedo pants. Oh my, I mean, I bought this for a wedding. And what I did was, is I went down to one of those stores to rent a tuxedo. And the guy says, "Well, we'll rent you one for $120, or we'll sell you one for $120. I said, "Hold on, I didn't quite catch that." I asked him, I said, is it a good tuxedo that you're selling me?" He said, "Sir, honestly, it's the exact same tuxedo. If you want to buy it, it's $120, you take it and it's yours. You want to rent it, it's $120, and you bring it back to us." I said, "Well, that's a no-brainer. But can I tell you that I've worn it only one time? It's still there in the closet. Now, if I were to bring those tuxedo pants, and I were to put on those tuxedo pants and a nice white shirt, and I was to show up at the breakfast table, my wife would look at me and say, 'Where are you going?' Why? Well, because of the way I was dressed." You see, the way we're dressed indicates to people several things about us. It tells them who we are. It tells them what we're planning to do. It distinguishes us from other people. Your spiritual dress also says a lot about you. The way you're dressed spiritually tells others what you're planning to do. There may be someone here tonight that spiritually you're not planning on doing anything. You showed up tonight in your spiritual pajamas. But oh, that God would help us to awake, to get up, and then secondly, to get dressed. Notice what it says in verse number 12. "Let us put on the armor of light." Now, in order to explain this, you have verses 13 and 14. It says, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying." That's the clothing of darkness. But look at the clothing of the light. "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." You know, part of putting on the right type of clothes, it says here, is not to even make provision for the flesh. That's the time when you say, "Well, I want to stop by that store. Got something I want to pick up there." When we lived in Middleton, Tennessee, population 625, two stop signs. They had a gas station, Yop's, one of my favorite places. They sell beef and bean burritos. The deep fried ones. The ones that have the crunchy outside and the piping hot steaming inside. Can I get an amen? Sometimes I would tell my wife, "I think I need to go somewhere." And I was about to make provision for the flesh. Do you know what I'm saying? But you know, that's the way sin works on us too. We have to get dressed in such a way that we can't make provision for the flesh. So that when people see us, they say, "Oh, he's a Christian. I can tell by the way he's dressed, by the way he walks, by the things he says." Not even make provision for the flesh. We need to get up. We need to get dressed. Number three, we got to get going. My outline tonight actually came from my mom. When I was a child, I don't know how many times my mom would say, "Billy, get up, get dressed, get going." And as I was preparing this message, I kept thinking of other ways to say it, and I kept coming back to hear my mom's words. Thank you, Mom, for the outline. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 say, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things that are before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You remember Jonah? God comes to Jonah in Jonah chapter number 1, and he says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying," and he gives him his word. And Jonah listens to God's word and runs in the opposite direction. He goes down and he gets on a boat and he goes out, and of course you know the story. But I love Jonah chapter 3 and verse number 1, because it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying." You maybe did sleep through that spiritual alarm clock. There are probably folks in here tonight that at some point in the past in your life, God was ringing your spiritual alarm clock and you slept through it. You kept hitting the snooze button. There was something God wanted you to do. There was a divine appointment and you kept putting it off, putting it off, putting it off, putting it off. And you may think right now it's too late. And you may live every day with regrets. You may say, "I wish I had have woken up. I wish I had have gotten up. I wish I had have gotten dressed. I wish I had have gotten going for the Lord, but I didn't." Our God is the God of second chances. And I submit to you that He's maybe calling you tonight and saying to you, "Look, get up, get dressed, and get going spiritually." The Bible tells us that God has a perfect plan for our life. Paul wrote in the book of Romans, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed into this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Not too long ago, I flew into Mexico City. As I arrived at the airport in Mexico City, my flight arrived early, and I just breezed through, you know, immigration. I mean, it was awesome. I was so excited. I needed to get to where I was going. I had to take a bus, and I wasn't looking forward to all the delays, and I was praying that I wouldn't have any delays. And man, I just flew through immigration. It was so wonderful. And I got to where the bags were, and all of the bags were coming out. And people were taking their bags and they were going, and they were so happy and they were all excited. I mean, it was just fast, way faster than normal. My bag didn't come out. All of a sudden, they shut the gate. They turned off the conveyor belt. I said, "Oh no, they lost my bag." And I went over and I talked to the agent that was there, and I said, "Sir, they just closed the gate down and they shut the conveyor belt off and my bag hasn't come out." And he said, I know, we've got more bags on the plane and we'll get them, but it's going to take some time." And I was standing there and I thought, well, okay. Next to me was a porter. I had seen this man for probably 20 years. He and I have worked together when we've had groups coming down. I've used him several times to help me to take bags in the airport in Mexico City, and we've had large groups come in, and so I know a lot of the guys there, and he was there, and he said, "Hey, how you been? I haven't seen you around." I said, "Well, I've been living in Mongolia." "Well, what are you doing over there?" "Translating the Bible." "Oh, wow, that's great." He said, "So the Bible, tell me about the Bible." "Oh, okay." So I started telling him about the Bible. 1 hour later, he bowed his head and he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. You know what happened? When he finished praying, that little gate thing came back up, the conveyor started, and my bag was the first one out. I said, "Wow, Lord, that was amazing." I grabbed my bag, I walked over to the bus, buy my ticket, and the guy in front of me bought the last ticket on that bus. I said, "Lord, really?" And he said, "Didn't you learn your lesson yet?" So I got seat number 1, on the next bus, leaving 45 minutes later. I went and I sat down. There was a 16-year-old girl seated next to me. She started looking at me. She said, "Do you speak Spanish?" She asked me in Spanish. I said, "Yes, I do." She said, "Oh, what do you do?" I said, "Well, I'm a missionary." She said, "I thought so." I said, well, yes, I am. Thank you." She said, "I'm a member of a Baptist church." I said, "Well, that's great." I said, "Have you been saved?" She said, "Absolutely. No, Jesus Christ is my Savior." She said, "But you're a missionary, right?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Well, I want to be a missionary to India, and I'm wondering who I can talk to find out about going to India." I said, "Well, I lived in India for 4 years. She said, "Well, my bus doesn't leave for 45 minutes. When does yours leave?" I said, "45 minutes. You see, God sets up divine appointments, doesn't He? But we're sometimes so asleep, we don't even realize what's going on. And what I'm begging you is to get up, get dressed, and get going for God. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to preach and for being so good to me. I love you, Lord Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen."